In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the letter to the Ephesians, we read that we are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as our cornerstone. As we celebrate Simon and Jude, the apostles, it is a good moment to reflect on that apostolic faith, on Christ, the cornerstone, and the stones that make the building of the church. There are the bricks and mortar type stones, and then there are the apostle and prophet type stones. Christians are well versed in the imagery of the spiritual temple as well as the physical one. There is deliberate, I suspect, ambiguity. The church is both a building and a people. So we can say the church is where the church worships. The human body we understand as a temple of the Holy Spirit. The church, the body of Christ, as a spiritual temple. We tend to be easy in the church with the language of being living stones, building up Christ's church. Christ, who is the cornerstone of all of this. The authority of the apostles in the life of the church is then only ever built on Christ, the cornerstone. In the name Peter, the Prince of Apostles, we see a play on the images. Peter, the rock, the stone, on which Christ's church will be built. But that very stone is something that can be tripped over, or you can stub your toe on. And that's perhaps true of the tradition of the church as well. Tradition, properly understood, is something that is handed on to us, a generous living inheritance, worthy of Christ, the cornerstone. Traditionalism is a dead and arid legacy that we are liable to trip over and stub our toes on. And, by the way, neither the term living tradition nor traditionalism should ever be used as labels to paint others with or to run down others who don't see things quite the way we do. It's highly topical for us in this cathedral to reflect on being the body of Christ, living stones, and the buildings that house our common life together. It's topical too to continue to reflect on how we remain faithful to the apostolic faith founded on Christ. It is topical because we ourselves are on the cusp, or perhaps we're already in it, of the renewal of this place, both as a building and as the body of Christ. And both will inform the other. The building that we stand in now, robbed of its scaffolding as it is a focal point, a place of shelter as well for the body of Christ, the church, to be able to go out in service of Christ to all the places that we will find ourselves during the week. The building has to be at the service of the worship, mission, and ministry that is offered here. That sense of being built on the lived apostolic faith, on the foundation of Christ, is essential to all our undertakings as a community of faith. We have to be able to say, as the living stones of this temple, with one of tonight's psalms, "Our help standeth in the Lord, who hath made heaven and earth." In other words, our help standeth in the Lord, the cornerstone. Our first reading tonight was a song of praise that Moses declared after the fullness of the law was written down and before he died. And if we think about Moses, we have a case study of reflecting on the tension between being God's people and also our need for buildings. In Exodus, Moses is given the directions and the dimensions of constructing a sanctuary, a holy place, a tent of meeting. That seems to suggest the necessity of a marked out, measured space for encounter with God and the offering of the sacrifice that will take place within that particular place. And yet, in contrast, as we famously know, Moses first met God in the wilderness, a rough and barren place, not hemmed in, a place where sheep can easily get lost. It was in that place of discomfort where God whispered his presence to Moses. That space around the burning bush didn't have walls. It wasn't marked out. There was no roof of it. It was no place of shelter. It wasn't neatly defined. But it was declared by God to be, all the same, holy ground on which Moses was standing. Moses's places of encounter were all God-shaped and God-inspired. They were places of intense holiness, a radical meeting with God, the God of Abraham, of whom Moses says in our first reading, "For I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are just." The apostolic faith, built and founded on Christ, is a faith that is not defined in a rigid, tight, marked-out way, but is shaped and formed in the generous life of the Trinity. It places the church and each individual member of the body in the place where Christ stands, a place of holy ground, a place of radical openness to the Father, bound only by the Holy Spirit. If you are standing where Christ stands, you are on holy ground, even in a wilderness. Jesus' promise of sending the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that relationship, the flame of the Holy Spirit, which does not destroy anything that is of God. The flame and breath of the Holy Spirit, our advocate. The thing is, though, all this could just be about the church as if it was introspective, a churchy pursuit for those who agree. But that would be totally to deny the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit. It would deny our life in the Trinity, because that Spirit sends us out. That Spirit makes us look out beyond ourselves so that we participate in the life of God. The Holy Spirit of God cannot be compared to any storm or high winds. And I've heard tonight's storm has been given a name, Hurricane St. Jude. Jude, the patron of lost causes. I don't know if there's any significance in that. And if you're reflecting on tonight's numbers here, remember, Jude was one of 11. That Spirit can't even be compared to any storm. That Spirit will blow us out into God's world to be Christ, to stand in the place where Christ is, even as we stand in the supermarket queue even as we stand in all sorts of unlikely places. There we stand with Christ in relation to the Father. That Spirit blows and breathes into dark and locked places. It blows even into the fear and darkness of the human heart. No building will be safe when the Spirit breathes and blows. I wonder then if Simon and Jude can be our patrons in this new week as we seek to stand with them, with the apostles, with all those who are faithful to Christ, stand in the place of Christ in the life of the Holy Trinity, knowing that when and where we stand with Jesus, we stand on holy ground. May we pray for the renewal of this holy place, its bricks, its mortar, its concrete. May we pray for the renewal of this holy place, its living stones, you and me, all our guests, young and old. May we all know the breath of the Holy Spirit upon us tonight and in this coming week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hymn 217.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.